Welcome to the Hello Hello World podcast with me, Candace Mollard. Hello Hello World is available wherever you stream podcasts. Please be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe. Your feedback is greatly appreciated. On this episode, I speak with Jessica and Jocelyn Lorido. During this very honest and informative conversation, we discuss things like being gay. We discuss faith and Christianity, gay marriage, and many other things. Jessica is first cousin to my husband, so therefore we're family through marriage. I cannot express the gratitude that I feel for these ladies for opening up on their lives and their personal struggles. I admire you both. We even get an appearance or two from their fur baby Piper with some cute little collar shakes. Enjoy this chat with an open mind and a glass of water. Thanks for listening. Well, good morning, my beautiful family.
Good morning, Candace. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
It's a lovely day here today. It's going to be warm.
It's been an amazing weekend and hopefully a good week.
It will definitely be a good week. The weather looks good. A little bit of rain, but I think that's what's to be expected in spring.
Agreed. I know. We need it.
We do need it. So I'm talking today with two of my, probably my two favorite members of the LGBTQ plus.
Hi.
Jesse and Joss, also known as Jessica Lorido. So thanks for being here today with me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
So, something you and I talked, well, the two of you and I talked the other day, and something that really stood out for me was you used 1 Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. So I want to start off with you telling me what that Bible verse means to you specifically, please.
Okay, well, I'll start because, that was kind of the one piece that I brought up was the patience piece. I think in that verse, when it comes for me in my walk, the patience piece was really important for me. It played a huge role. When it comes to love is patient. And with my coming out story, I had to be patient with my family for sure, and some of my friends, while they understood exactly what it was I was telling them about who I am and what my life is about, right? So that played a huge part.
Awesome. It made me read. I was reading a little bit. My husband has a Bible, your cousin, and I was looking through it, and it just made me keep reading and reading. So it's opened my Bible love again. So thank you for that, Jess.
That's awesome. I'm really glad to hear about that. That Jocelyn and I are both like extremely spiritual people. We use the word religious, and I wouldn't necessarily say that we are religious the way that a lot of people would think of that term, but most definitely spiritual. There is, in my belief, there is a higher power out there that is watching over us and helping us through our day-to-day, every day.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to have faith in something, especially when times get tough. So, it's great to be spiritual. It's great to lean on God or whatever you believe is your higher power.
Yes, for sure. So were you raised the same as far as what to believe in or what your religious beliefs were growing up?
Yeah, I would say we were raised the same. I was definitely far more invested in my growth as a Christian woman and getting to know Jess a little bit more. I feel as though she attended church but didn't absorb as much. And so there's some really fun conversations that happen around here. But I was very involved. So I taught Sunday school. I led a women's group, a young girls group. And so my faith, being brought up in my faith, was very important to me and still is today. And I think Jess has found started asking more questions later in life than earlier.
Yeah, my family as kids, like, we always attended church every Sunday. You know, we grew up in Riverside, small little town of Riverside. We went to Riverside United. So we would, you know, in the summertime, you know, ride our bikes and then from church go to grandma's and do, well, I know her affectionately as my Miga. We would do breakfast at Miga's, you know, but then as my brother and I grew up, we started becoming heavily invested in sports and travel sports. And all of a sudden weekends were no longer available. We kind of stepped away from the brick and mortar church so much. My parents have always been, you know, deep rooted in faith. And then once I kind of grew up and grew out of the sport life, I started getting kind of back into, you know, what is my faith? Who is my higher power? And how do I live my day, you know, for him?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Jess, you were raised in United Church.
And correct.
Joss, you were raised in a...
We jumped around quite a bit, but I would say we were definitely more so like, we went to a Baptist church for a long time. And then I went to a non-denominational church, and that's where I really started to grow on my own. I went to a non-denominational church on my own.
So basic, the same sect of just Christianity. Basically, you learned the same.
Yes. Yep.
And how did that play a part in, say, your abilities or non-abilities to be open with your sexuality, with your parents, your siblings, your friends?
For me, interestingly enough, it took a long time just to come to terms with myself and who I was. Mm-hmm. I was in denial through most of my teenage years and into my early 20s, really. And I think that a lot of it was questioning, well, am I going against my faith? Like, I didn't really have anybody to kind of guide me through, you know, the word of the Bible to say, but wait, here's where Jesus says he loves everybody, right? And so I denied it. I didn't allow myself feelings of attraction or love for, you know, other females. And because of that, I entered into relationships with men thinking this is what I'm supposed to do because in my world, the Bible told me so. And I was okay with that until I really wasn't anymore. It was my early 20s, I believe, was the last time I was in a relationship with a man. And the way that I explain a lot of questions a person has is, well, how do you know you were born this way? How are you born this way? It's a choice versus born this way. Right. And I say, if you've ever been in a conversation with someone, and you really regret something you said, and that either word or phrase that you used in the time keeps you up at night, right? Like you've had that feeling at night where it's, oh, why did I say that? And you just get that deep root gut feeling of remorse. That's how I felt with being in a relationship with men. And don't get me wrong, the guys that I did date, they were wonderful guys, like nothing against them. They were amazing. They treated me great. But it's just, it was not natural to me. Nothing that I did or said was ever natural when I was engaged in a relationship with a man.
Okay. And yes, Joss, please.
Okay. For me, I feel as though I fell in love for love. So I identify more, with the pansexuality where you are attracted to a person's energy and not necessarily their parts. Which is fairly new, but I am in a lesbian relationship marriage with Jess, but I would definitely identify more with the energy of Jess and wanting to spend the rest of my life with her because of the energy she puts off and that I can identify with and I feel comfortable in. I did have some trauma in my past that definitely made me a little bit weary of men, but I did date men after that. And once, you know, Jess showed some interest in me and I definitely showed some interest in her and we could have a good time together and our relationship worked, it just works for me and I'm extremely happy. So I don't think that I was born gay or identify 100% with, you know, most lesbians, I would say, who know that like women is what they want. I would definitely say I identify more with the energy that Jess puts off and the care she gives to me and the way she loves me. And I think that's what I needed in my life. And so it works.
Okay, that's so beautiful. So when you've heard the word pan, if I'm saying that correctly, did it all come to light for you? Or before that, did you have it figured out? Or was that pronoun something that you just, it clicked and you said, that's me?
Yeah, so it's not a pronoun, Candace. It's more a label.
Okay.
Just for educational purposes. It's more of a label. My pronouns are still she, her. That's how I identify. But I would definitely say the more I learned about the LGBTQ community and I did some presentations for some camps, for some camp counselors, the more I started to identify more with the word pansexual than lesbian. Definitely still queer, totally fine with that. But yeah, attracted to an energy and a true love than a person and their parts.
Okay. So would it be okay for me to call you queer, say, or call you gay or lesbian? Can you guys walk me through how to properly address somebody with respect that is part of your community?
Yeah. So again, like back to a bit of an educational piece, it's best just to ask folks how they would like to identify. And not make assumptions. So it's hard. I would definitely say for myself in a relationship with Jess, like we are in a lesbian relationship. We are in a gay relationship. We are in a queer relationship. And all of those things are totally fine for me. But they might not be okay for someone who is similar to Jess and I. So the best thing to do is either let that person identify, or just ask them like, hey, you know, I just, you know, excuse my ignorance, but I would like to know how can I address you? And some folks just don't want to be labeled at all, but it's just how they feel. And
well, right. And I'm not saying that I would go, I very much tend to not label anyone as, you know, disabilities, nothing. It's not necessary. We're all just beautiful little earthling humans. But in general, you know, when you're, even when I'm thinking about different people of different races and stuff, I want to make sure that I'm presenting it in a respectful way. So thank you for clarifying that for me.
For me, when I first kind of started my coming out journey, it was funny because I had dated a girl and right after I dated a guy. And then, you know, I was kind of back dating girls again and people were saying like, are you gay? Are you not? And I was like, you know what? I'm just happy. Like I'm happy.
Yeah. So
that's who I am.
That's fair.
It is fair. So let's talk a little bit about your wedding day. And I want to give you the platform to talk, but I'm going to take a little bit of time and let you know how it made me feel. For me growing up, I also grew up in a fairly Christian home. We have a lot of diversities, a lot of different types of folks in my family. Everyone was always accepted, but this is something that I totally can't resonate with. Being gay didn't really ever
make any sense in my mind. So of course I respect everyone, and I shouldn't say of course, but me as a person, I respect everyone and their choices, and I loved you both just the same, and so happy to have you in our lives. But when I went to your wedding, it really opened my eyes to love. And I'm already married myself at this point. I don't know if it was because I was super emotional, super hungry. I don't know what it was, but the outdoors, the way the light was hitting you both. I know it was such an honor for you both to have the woman who married you do that. And to have all those people supporting you in something that is not a common get together. It was my first experience with a same-sex marriage. And it legitimately showed me what love is all around, between the two of you, between your parents, your siblings. All of it was just so beautiful to see. And I want to, I mean, I'm sure you guys still boast about that day. It was just so beautiful. But I want to know how it makes you feel to have the right to be married, you know, because it hasn't always been this way, you know, and I'm so happy that you guys were able to do that. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. So to start, Jocelyn and I met 10 years ago, almost 11 years ago. We were working together in Toronto. I was actually on the hiring panel when Jocelyn came into the room for her interview. And immediately on that day, it was Candace, this is going to sound so cliche, but this is exactly how it happened. In the conference center that I was working at, where we were hosting these interviews, there was a double door, and literally the double doors opened and in came Jocelyn. And I just went like, okay, there's something really important about this girl. She's going to play an important piece in my life. At the time, I had no idea what that was going to be. I, you know, didn't know if it was relationship, didn't know if it was anything like that.
What color were my shoes, babe?
They were yellow. And specifically enough, not only did she have yellow shoes, but she also had a bracelet on that said, I heart boobies. It was a donation, charitable, you know, breast cancer charity awareness bracelet. And I just went, there's something about her that is going to be very important. So that was 10 years ago. And needless to say, you know, we dated together 10 years, but we only just got married. It'll be 2 years ago this June. And so while we were taking our walk through our relationship together, it became really important to us that we identified, great, we love each other. Our families love us. You know, our friends love us. We're a great couple, but it's really important that we have, you know, that legal entity of marriage to say, if something were to happen to me, you're going to be okay. You know, what we've built together, you can have if something happened to me. And not only that, if something happened to me, I know legally I have you to help me, to take care of me, and vice versa. That was the first piece. That was what made, you know, this same-sex legalization of marriage so important to us, for us personally. The second piece for me, I'll speak for myself on this one, was awesome. So now we're able to get married. The next piece that was really important for me was having that presence of God and love at our wedding, which is, you mentioned the Reverend, it's Reverend Robin. She is the Reverend of Tecumseh United Church, which is an affirming church, which means it's all inclusive. Everybody is welcome. It's an amazing church. Jocelyn and I have both attended on occasion. It's a bit far from our house, so we haven't attended recently, but it is a great church. And anybody who is curious about God and LGBTQ, or questioning about God and LGBTQ, Tecumseh United Church is a really great place to start. Just a little plug there, shameless. So that was the next piece with our wedding, and what made it so important was we had a reverend, God was with us, and finally our relationship, our marriage was validated. Mm-hmm. And that was really important.
Mm-hmm. I think too, you know, we have young people in our lives, and there were a few who came to the ceremony to see us get married, and there's been a lot of questions from them as well. But just to show that, hey, this is an okay path too. And as long as you love the person you're with and they respect you and take care of you and make you feel, like Jesse said, happy or joyful, then that's okay. I think for me, the scary thing was, if something were to happen to Jess or I, we wouldn't be identified as family, in a hospital setting. And so being sure that we had that certificate to say, hey, I'm your family, because family is so important to both Jess and I, we now can say, like, we are a family. Yes, we have supportive families around us, but Jess and I together are a family. And I think that was really important for me as I get emotional about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear that, but it's making me emotional. And that's beautiful. That's exactly what I wanted to happen, because it really is truly an amazing thing that the society and the world is allowing people to just be who the hell Absolutely. They want to be. Yeah. So before we get to, I have a couple more things I want to ask you, but I'm going to soften the blow here with some quick questions.
Sure.
Are you guys ready? Okay. I'll ask you both. One can answer, one can answer after, whatever you want. These are the questions I came up with for you guys. What color is your toothbrush?
Oh, mine's yellow, I think. Yeah.
Mine's an electronic toothbrush, white with a blue knob.
Of course it's an electronic toothbrush, Joss. Okay, and Jessie has a yellow toothbrush to represent the yellow.
Probably. But, yeah, that's
okay.
Way to tie that one in.
what challenges you?
Oh, Jocelyn on a daily basis.
Thanks,
like, that's a good one.
I know. I'm thinking.
Are you just speaking like in general terms what challenges us, or like a daily motivational?
Yep.
You
just answer it how you feel. Jocelyn challenges you because
she's and it's not in a bad way.
Strong.
You know, she just. You know, she really likes stuff getting done around the house. So she...
Yeah, man.
You can't think of one, can you?
I think what challenges me a little bit is, especially during COVID, like finding a new routine that works, and still being flexible. That if the routine isn't happening, that I have the ability to kind of like cope with that. Jess has a very different work schedule than I do. I'm a 9-to-5er, and that's great for me. But to have a partner who is like coming home later, starting later, all of those types of things, it's hard for me who needs a routine to, you know, be at my best all the time. And I'm not saying you have to be at your best, but I don't think it's fair for my partner, for Jess, to come home and, you know, I'm miserable because she had to work later. Like, that's not fair to her. So I'm working on that. That is something that challenges me every day. Probably my verbalness, like Candace said.
Yeah.
Which I'm learning more and more about every day.
All right. What about something on your bucket
list? We both.
Greece?
Yeah.
Yeah. We both want to go to Greece. That was something we learned earlier in our relationship, like way back 10 years ago, was at the time when traveling was a thing. we both want to go see Greece, and not like the big, you know, main parts like the Athens and all that. Yeah. But like kind of like the offbeat path of Greece.
Mm-hmm.
What is it for you both that is Greece? What's the common denominator
for
there?
Me, it was the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. So I read all of those books, and just the way that the author explained how beautiful it was. And I mean, I'm into color, I love color. And the way she explained the water and the colors of the houses and the culture, I just think it would be something really fun. And I really love tzatziki sauce.
For me, it's coffee and anytime you see a painting of, you know, Greece, like the houses on the mountains and the blue waters and things, anybody who's ever been there has always said, "Oh, those paintings don't even do it justice." And it's like, oh, if this painting is enough to make me go, "Wow," you know, I have to see this place in person. So hopefully one day that can happen. And coffee.
Coffee. I've never had an interest in, not that I wouldn't go, but it's just not something that
Fair enough.
toots my horn. So that's probably it for the
Okay.
questions. I don't want to put you on the spot anymore,
I'm having
Jess.
fun. This is great.
Another thing that I was curious about for you is, you know, as kids and growing up, we all sort of identify with people on TV or people who we read, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, you know. We all feel maybe we can pull somebody that we identify with in society or wherever. Do you feel as though, you know, there's anyone that you can relate to? Like, is being gay in, is it being portrayed fairly in society? Is basically
Is
my
being
question.
gay being fairly portrayed in society?
Yes. Like, in the media, do you feel like it's fair? Do you feel like it's stagnant? Like, you know, or do you feel like it's current? And do you identify with anybody that you read or watch?
Can I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. For me, I feel like in the media, Candace, it's very hyper stereotypical. So all of those like stereotypical things, they really like hyperize them. So, you know, like the bigger, I'm going to use the word butch lesbian. Like you see a lot of that on TV, whereas you don't see a lot of like the softer, more femme, which is like how I would identify more so in like the dresses and the lipstick. And like to look at me, people don't really know that I am gay. And I'm okay with that, but I don't see that portrayed in the media.
Exactly what I wanted to
I
know.
think by and large, you know, I think media is getting better. It's better than it was.
Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek is a great example. Like that is like how much that show transformed from
Yeah.
episode one to the end. And if you haven't seen it yet, Candace, you have to watch it. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
You know, I think overall media is getting better, but it's still not great. And I just think that with everything going on in this world today, the media can do a little bit better at being a little more responsible
And
in their
inclusive.
portrayal of and inclusive in their portrayal of everything, sitcoms to news to everything else that you find on the media, right?
For sure. And with that being said, is there anything that society makes you feel held back in or repressed? Do you feel that way ever in your community, in society in general, in your job?
I think as we as a society, so one thing I will say is that Windsor Essex is doing a really amazing job as far as supporting their LGBTQ,
Including us.
it being more inclusive. You know, we I think as a member of LGBTQ, I had wished I had known about the resources and supports that are out there. You know, there's Windsor Pride community, there's We Trans, there's
Pride
Pride
Fest.
Fest, you know, family services. Windsor is also a great place. I wish I had known about these resources, you know, 6-7 years ago, Jocelyn and I were going to buy a house. And for those of you who don't know Jocelyn personally, Jocelyn is just the most fun-loving, at times naive person. You know, she just loves so much that, you know, she forgets things like, hey, we should probably be really cognizant about where we buy our home. There may be certain pockets in Windsor where our neighbors may not be comfortable or accepting of us as neighbors. So as we started the hunt for our house, that it got like really emotional for Jocelyn. Again, Windsor, Essex is doing a great job as far as being more inclusive and being open, and having these resources for people to go and talk to people. But at that time, 6 years ago, I didn't know about it. And so we would go look at a house that Jocelyn would love. And I would say, okay, this probably isn't the neighborhood for us. Because I grew up in Windsor, I knew Windsor. Jocelyn did not grow up in Windsor. So she fell in love with the house, obviously. And I would have to kind of walk her away from it. And it was hard. So we did finally end up purchasing our first home. We love it here. And I will say, on the day that my neighbor came over, he's an awesome guy. And he's big and he's a carpenter, you know, he does drywall. He's got these massive hands. And first question was, hey, so, you and your husband live in here? And I went, oh, I'm just going to rip off the Band-Aid. And I was like, no, it's myself and my partner. Her name is Jocelyn and you will love her. And immediately I went into started defending myself. I was like, I am so sorry if our relationship offends you. Jocelyn and I are really good people. We will leave you alone. Like, I was doing everything to just try and make sure that we were going to be okay inside, like under the roof of our own home. And of course, as it turns out, my neighbors are wonderful. You know, they're Pam and Charlie. I'm going to put it out there. Pam and Charlie are fantastic. And, you know, Charlie's response to me when I was completely defensive, apologizing for who I was and who Jocelyn and I were, he goes, hey, he's like, two houses down, there's two ladies that live there. They're gay too. He's like, you know, the guy next to me, yeah, he's person of color. He's cool too, you know? And so he was just kind of going through the diversity of our neighborhood for me, which completely made me feel so comfortable. And I just went, we found it. We found our spot. And all of our neighbors are wonderful. Pam and Charlie were the first ones to kind of welcome us. I mean, they live exactly right next door. But all the other neighbors that we've met, there's about 7 or 8 houses, you know, that we've come to know in the last 5-6 years. And they're all great, wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And I think there's more like that now. Like, mm-hmm. Windsor is an inviting and welcoming community.
And you've created I know Jocelyn has a really wonderful relationship with Pam. Yeah, you guys really click, and that's beautiful to see. Another thing that, you know, I've spoken to you both about this, our parents' age, say, you know, the baby boomer age, I'll title that, they don't really, their minds don't seem to open to change. And if they weren't raised or have like an authentic open mind already, maybe they wouldn't be so open to knowing how other people live or what other people's sexualities are. And just the fact that they kind of were inclusive from the beginning is really nice to see, you know, because I've come across a lot of people in that age group, because I've met them, I can speak on their age, that just kind of don't get it and don't accept it and judge, you know, in a way. So I love seeing people who are inclusive and people especially whose minds can be changed and at that age.
I think it's important that we kind of loop back and say, love is patient, love is kind. When I first came out to my parents, it wasn't the easiest conversation, nor was it the easiest, you know, length of road down my journey. You know, when I came out, I did the typical, I sat my parents down on the couch. My mom had made a mention to me. I was living in Toronto at the time and I had been down in Windsor visiting, and mom just said, "Wow, there's something so different about you." And I just said, "Well, yeah, I'm happy. And here's why. I met a girl. Her name is Jocelyn. She is wonderful. And she is more than my friend. She is my partner." I said, "And at some point I would like for you to meet her." Jocelyn wasn't down with me at the time. I had made the trip down to Windsor solo. Actually, she hadn't even been to Windsor yet. We were fairly new in our relationship. And so that was that. My parents, they cried. They hugged me. They said they love me and I love them. And that is so important to me. I love my parents. I love my parents. I always have. And then I kind of went about my night that night. I just kind of left my parents high and dry. I went out with friends, cause that's what I did when I was in Windsor, and I kind of just left them dangling there with a massive piece of information that I just dropped on their plate. And I went, "Okay, so that's out of the bag now. See ya." And I think that was a mistake on my part. So the weekend went on and I went back to Toronto, and then 2 weeks later I was back down visiting. And my parents sat me down and just said, "You know, we don't know how we feel about this. We don't know if we're okay with it." And I said, "Okay, well, let's talk about that." Cause again, love is patient and love is kind. So that's where this all kind of comes in, is that my parents expressed to me that they needed time. You know, me being, I think I was 26 at the time, and I was a little bit on the arrogant side. I was working in Toronto. I had a great gig up in Toronto, and I was not being as patient with my parents. But taking it back with me, I said, somehow this has to work for me. My parents made it clear that they were not ready to meet Jocelyn. They wanted to wait. They needed time to process. And I said, okay. So in my story, that was, I had to make both relationships work. I was not going to rule out my parents. I felt at the time that I had a little piece of responsibility in how they were feeling. I didn't take on the responsibility that they were feeling this way, but I felt a little bit responsible that, you know, my parents had to take a step back, had to process their feelings. And so what's my part in that? Well, my part was, I'm going to work with this. So I started bringing Jocelyn down to Windsor. However, my parents weren't ready to meet her. So I said, "Okay, mom and dad, I will come in on a Friday. I will sit with you for 15 to 20 minutes while Jocelyn waited in the car. And I would go visit with my parents for 15 minutes on a Friday night and then go about my weekend. Weekend would end and I'd go back to Toronto." You know, the visit with my parents was always polite, cordial. They would ask me questions from time to time about, like, my life and my lifestyle, which I would provide them information. It was fine. But that was the relationship that I had with my parents. I kind of set those boundaries to say, I am not giving up on my parents. I never will. I love and respect them too much. So I compromised.
How did that make you feel,
Josh? I, to be honest, was okay with it, because I didn't want to go and, like, barge in on someone who wasn't ready to accept me. I knew at this time, it was pretty clear to me at this time that, you know, Jesse was my person. And so I wanted to give them the space that they needed to, like, ask her the questions and whatever. And then there was one weekend that I would sit in the car and I would just read my book. And I didn't make it hard on Jess. I totally understood. I was not out at that time. So I was like, well, this could be me in the next, you know, couple of years or when I feel ready. And Jess's mom came out on the front porch and she started waving me in. Now, keep in mind, Toronto to Windsor is like 4 hours. Jess and I would leave after work. So it was usually around like 9 o'clock after a busy week at work that we would show up. So I was not looking my best. in the way that I probably wanted to present myself to people who, you know, were very skeptical about meeting me. But to be honest, I think, you know, the fact that you've said it and Jess has said it as well, like, I'm just so loving and like free-spirited and naive, I guess, that I just kind of like walked in with my head held high and, you know, introduced myself, allowed them to ask me questions. And, you know, from that point on, like, I, you know, I probably challenged Jess's dad on the regular. And, you know, we have this bickering back and forth relationship, but it's a relationship and I feel like family. So, and I know that I am family.
And it was just patience. I think the biggest mistake that I know that I made was kind of twofold. You know, first, I dumped the information on my parents and then just left. But also, you know, I told other people before I told them. And I think that really hurt them. I think it hurt that I didn't go to them first, that they were kind of finding, like, they were kind of last to know. So I think there was a lot of emotion in the whole, like, in the entirety of it.
Yeah, and not knowing how, is it's not as though you've come out or had to do this big, that's a big task, you know? It's not something that you had planned. You didn't know how to do it. And I think it all went the way it was supposed to.
I mean, and now, of course, we have wonderful relationships with both sides of our parents. You know, her parents are amazing people. My parents love Joss. Joss loves them. It all worked out.
It did all work out because love is the key. So Joss, when you came out, if you will, to your parents, did you come out to them because you felt like they knew you were in a relationship already, or because it was kind of hard to hide?
Let's face it, I came in like a wrecking ball. I was just like, I'm coming for Christmas.
So before I came out, both my brother, my twin brother, and my sister called and said, like, Joss, we know, and enough is enough. And I was like, okay, like, sure, no problem. And both of them were like, Joss, we love you. Like, you just have to do it. It's not, and their big thing was, it wasn't fair to Jess. And so I was like, okay. Like, I listened to them. I was like, all right. So I was, Jess, I think I went home earlier, and then Jess was going to join me at my parents' home a little bit later that weekend. And so my mom, I was putting stuff away, like probably making my bed or whatever. My mom comes like up the stairs and she sits down on the bed and she's like, okay, are we gonna continue to buy just gift cards for Christmas, or do you have something to say? And I just started bawling on my bed, and I just told her, I was like, Mom, I love Jessie. I think I'm going to marry her. Yes, she's a part of my life and my family. And my mom was like, okay, good. We love you. You know, whatever. My dad still says that I've never actually come out to him, and maybe I haven't. I don't really know. I think it was all like very emotional and whatever. But then when Jess came later that weekend, my mom met her at the door and the two of them just embraced and started crying. And I was like, okay, like it's done. And this is my family, and my family is accepting and loving, and the relationship that Jess and my sister have is amazing, and I wouldn't want it to be anything different. And like my brother and his boys, you know, every time I go home without Jess, they're like, well, Aunt Joss, where's Aunt Jessie? And I'm like, oh, well, she has to work. And, you know, they're totally bummed. And my Nate, who was like the first one to come into our lives, my brother's son, you know, was just so antsy at the wedding. Like, Grandma, Grandma, I want to go hug Aunt Joss. I'm so proud of her. Grandma, Grandma, I love Aunt Joss. Can I hug her now? And so as I walked, after Jess and I were married and we walked back down the aisle, he just like booted out and gave me the biggest hug. And I don't know, I just knew that like this was right.
Yeah, your poor parents too. So at least my parents had 4 years of our relationship, Joss and I, you know, it was 4 years after Joss and I were together that Jocelyn, you know, verbalized our relationship to her mom. And then right from there, it was like, boom, 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 boom. Like, your poor mom. It was like, you came out. And then like a month later, I'm sitting in front of your parents going, by the way, here's the ring I want to give your daughter. Are you guys okay with this? And like, they just one thing after another, by the way, we're getting a house. By the way, we're getting married. Like, so yeah. Talk about
this is really beautiful, guys. There's so much power in those stories. It must feel really good to just
absolutely
feel complete.
I definitely feel privileged in the fact that, and it's I acknowledge awesome. That privilege that it just went, it went so well, and it doesn't necessarily go that way for all folks. And so I am very blessed. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Thank you guys so much. Is there anything else that you guys want to touch on?
Well, I think, you know, Jocelyn and my story isn't the hardest, you know, coming out story by any stretch of the imagination, and just recognizing that, you know, there are LGBTQ youth and adults out there that are struggling with their identity and how they identify. And I think it's important that they know that in the Windsor Essex County area, there are resources out there for you. Again, you know, you have the Windsor Pride Community, We Trans, Pride Fest, Family Services, and you know, there's a website that have free programs for youth and allies, youth and folks who want to help their LGBTQ friends and family. The website, Candace, if you don't mind, I just want to do a quick plug of it. It's through the Trillium Foundation with Windsor Pride Fest and Family Services. And that's qlinkwe.ca/programs for anybody who wants to reach out and learn more about themselves, or, you know, tap into some counseling. The programs there are free.
That's great. I love hearing about resources that our city offers for all kinds of things. And why would I know? I wouldn't know that, because I'm not in need of these resources per se, but
yeah, that's qlinkwe.ca/programs for anybody who wants to reach out and learn more.
I'll put that in the description as well of your episode so that people can link to it. All right, guys. Well, thanks again. I really do value your time. And I know that you have already helped so many people along your way, but I'm hoping that this can reach someone or multiple people who are struggling or who need these resources, or who even just need to hear a fun, loving conversation.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Ladies.
It's been great.
Love you too.
Okay, I love you both.